Now look at part one.
Part one.
First, you have some time to look at questions 1 to 4. You will hear the recording once only. Listen carefully to the conversation and answer questions 1 to 4.
Okay, who's next, please?
I think I am.
How can I help you?
I just came in on flight 372 from Singapore at 11:30 and my luggage hasn't arrived. I've been waiting at the baggage claim for about half an hour now and everything seems to have come off the plane. The conveyor belt has stopped and all the passengers have gone. So I came here to find out what has happened to my bag.
Can I see your ticket, please?
Here it is.
So you came from Hong Kong today and changed planes in Singapore, right?
Yes, the connection in Singapore was a tight one. The plane got in late and I had to rush to get to the next flight.
That's the problem right there. There wasn't enough time to get your bags onto the connecting flight. Normally, Singapore Airport is very efficient. Now, I need you to fill in these forms. Your name?
Jenny Lee.
Address?
I guess you want my address here. I'm staying with relatives. Just a minute, I'll have to look it up. It looks like 583. No, it's 533 East 67th Street in Riverside.
Do you have the phone number there?
Yes, I do. It's 93014269.
So you came in on Qantas flight 392. Do you know the number of the flight out of Hong Kong?
Let me see. I think it was Cathay Pacific 900 or something. Oh, yes. It says here. CX912.
Before you hear the rest of the conversation, you have some time to look at questions 5 to 10. Now listen and answer questions 5 to 10.
Right. Now, I need a description of the luggage. How many pieces did you check in?
Just one.
Can you describe it for me? Here is a picture to help you.
Okay. It's a big bag, like this one. Rectangular. Not hard shell, but soft covered. And it has a zipper around the front.
Is it black?
No, sort of a grey colour.
Any identification?
Just a tag with my name on it.
Any other features?
Well, it has wheels and a retractable handle on the end, so you can pull it, as well as the handle in the middle.
Okay, that's fine. Now, if your bag missed the connection, I'm sure it'll be put on the next flight. I'll email Singapore as soon as I finish here. The next flight comes in at 17:50. That's 10 to 6 this evening. You can pick it up then.
10 to 6? That's too long to wait. Can I get my uncle to pick up the bag on his way home from work?
Sorry, you have to be here yourself to clear customs.
Of course, I almost forgot. Will the bag come here, to this desk?
Yes. You pick it up here, then take it over to the customs area. By the way, don't forget to bring your passport. You will also need to have the key plus your ticket with a baggage claim number on it.
Oh, okay. Guess I'll have to come back tomorrow then. It's lucky I packed everything I need for now in my carry-on bag.
Yes, that's always a good idea. Be prepared.
That is the end of part one.
You now have half a minute to check your answers.
Now it turns to part two.
Part two.
You are going to hear a conversation between two women about the health system in England. First, you have some time to look at questions 11 to 17. Now listen to the first part of the conversation and answer questions 11 to 17.
Hello, Mrs. Sutton. Come in. How are you settling in next door? Have all your things from Canada arrived yet? I thought I saw a removals van outside your house yesterday afternoon.
Yes, they came yesterday. We spent all day yesterday arranging them. It's beginning to feel a bit more like home now.
Oh, that's good. Look, come in and sit down. Are you all right? You look a bit worried.
Well, I am a bit. I'm sorry to bother you so early, Mrs. Smith, but I wonder if you could help me. Could you tell me how I can get hold of a doctor? Our daughter, Anna, isn't very well this morning, and I may have to call somebody out. She keeps being sick and... I am beginning to get a bit worried. I just don't know how the health system works here in England. All I know is that it's very different from ours back in Canada.
Well, I don't know really where to start. Let me think. Well, the first thing you have to do is find a family doctor.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we call them general practitioners as well.
Right.
And register with him or her. If you live here, you've got to be on a doctor's list. If you're not, things can be a bit difficult.
Oh.
Nobody will come out to you if you're not registered. Anyway, they work in things called practices.
Uh-huh.
Sort of small groups of family doctors all working together in the same buildings. Now, what you've got to do this morning is register with one of them. There are two practices near here, so we're quite well off for doctors in this part of Manchester. There's the Dean End Health Centre, about 10 minutes' walk away. And there's another practice in South Hay. That's about 5 minutes away, going towards the town centre.
Uh-huh.
We're registered at the Dean End one, but they're both okay. There are about 6 doctors in our practice and 4 in the other. So ours is quite big in comparison. And the building and everything's a bit more modern. South A is a bit old-fashioned, but the doctors are okay. Their only problem is that they don't have a proper appointment system. Sometimes you have to wait for ages there to see someone.
Mm.
Anyway, you go to the receptionist in whichever health centre and ask her to register you with a doctor there. You have to fill in a form, but it doesn't take long. Ours is called Dr. Jones, and we've been going to him for years. Ever since we moved here 15 years ago. I wouldn't say he's brilliant, but I suppose he's all right, really. We're used to him now. They say he's very good with elderly people, but he does tend to get a bit impatient with children. Listen, the one who's supposed to be really good with small children is Dr. Shaw. I've heard lots of people say that.
Mm-hmm.
She's young and she's got small children of her own, so... You could try registering with her. And if her list's full, I heard somebody say the other day that there's a really nice young doctor at South Hay, a Dr. Williams.
Mm-hmm.
He holds special clinics for people with back trouble, but that's not really your problem, is it?
Now you have some time to look at questions 18 to 20. Now listen to the rest of the conversation and answer questions 18 to 20.
If you want a doctor to visit you at home, you have to ask for a home visit. You're supposed to do that before 10:30 in the morning, but obviously if it's an emergency, you can phone at any time, night or day. It might not be your doctor that comes, though. It's quite often one of the other doctors in the practice. It doesn't really seem to make much difference.
Right.
Otherwise, you make an appointment to see your doctor at the health centre. You usually get seen the same day. Not always, of course, but usually, as I say. The whole surgery is between 9 and 11:30 every weekday, and from 4 to 6:30, Monday to Thursday. Saturdays are only for emergencies.
I see.
When the doctor sees you, he gives you a prescription. He writes what medication you need on it, and you take it to a chemist's shop. There's one opposite the centre. If it's for a child under 16, you don't have to pay. So if it's for Anna, there's no problem. The same thing goes if you're unemployed or retired, or if you're pregnant. Just as well, because it's not cheap. You pay the same price for each item the doctor has prescribed. At the moment, it's something like £5 per item. So you pay for the medication, but the consultation with the doctor doesn't cost you anything. It's completely free as long as you're a resident here.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to be here for 3 years, aren't you?
Uh-huh.
So, well, there shouldn't be any question of you paying anything to see the doctor. Mm. So that's one less problem to worry about. Look, Mrs. Sutton, if you want, I'll sit with your daughter for half an hour if you want to go down to the health centre to register. It's no trouble, really. Don't worry.
Are you sure you wouldn't mind? That would really help me a lot. I'll ask them if they can send someone round later to see Anna. I think I'll try the Dean End Centre.
Good idea. Don't worry about Anna.
Right. I'll be back as soon as I can.
That is the end of part two.
You now have half a minute to check your answers.
Now turns to part three.
Part three.
You will hear a group of students, Henry, Joe, Nancy, and Gordon, discussing changes to their work experience placement arrangements.
First, you have some time to look at questions 21 to 26. Now listen carefully and answer questions 21 to 26.
Look, there's the notice that Professor Jones told us he'd be putting up confirming the details of our work experience placements.
But I thought that was already arranged.
No, he said he'd have to check with the companies that the days we preferred were okay for them. Let's see if any have changed. Therese is not here today, but her name's first. It says the Uni Bookshop, Friday mornings, starting on the 23rd of March. So, nothing's changed. I'll let her know.
What about Manuel? He's not here either. Is he still going to the music store in the High Street?
If it's mainly music, Yes, he's still down for that on Friday afternoons, starting on the 9th.
The day's different. It's changed from Tuesday mornings. But that's okay. I'll tell him. He'll really enjoy listening to music all day.
Now, where's my name? Henry. Here it is. I'm going to the beauty shop, and I said I preferred Thursday afternoons. Oh, good, that seems okay. And my start date hasn't changed either. Joe, what day did you opt for?
I'm going to Highway Hotels on Monday mornings.
Yes, that's okay. And starting on Monday the 12th of March.
Oh, has that been changed? Okay, I was scheduled to start the week before. I'll just make a note of that.
What about me, Henry? Have I still got the Explore Travel Service on Wednesday mornings?
Just a minute. Where's your name? Let's see. Nancy. Okay, here it is. Explore Travel on Wednesdays, yes. But afternoons, and starting date is Wednesday the 14th of March. Has the date changed?
No, not the date, just the time, which is fine. I'll get to sleep in.
You lazy thing, Nancy. Chris's name is next on the list. Gorgeous Gowns Fashions. What a name.
Yes, it sounds good, doesn't it? I'm hoping he'll bring me some free samples. So, has he still got Wednesday mornings?
Yes, Wednesday mornings starting on the 14th of March.
Okay, I'll tell him when I see him tonight that his arrangements haven't changed.
Gordon, what about you?
I chose that software company that makes computer games. I can't remember its name, but I asked for Tuesday afternoons.
Oh, yes. Here it is. Games to go on Wednesday mornings. There's a note here saying they have their weekly staff meetings on Tuesday afternoons. So that wouldn't be much use to you. That's why they've changed it to Wednesdays, starting on the 21st of March, so you can see their working setup.
Okay, I'm glad they've changed it. I don't think I'd want to sit through a meeting every week.
Before the conversation continues, you have some time to look at questions 27 to 30. Now, as the conversation continues, answer questions 27 to 30.
Can someone remind me what time we have to get to our placement in the afternoons?
It says here, mornings start at 9 a.m. and afternoon sessions at 1 p.m.
Oh, that's a shame. I thought Professor Jones was going to change it to 9:30 a.m. and 1:30 p.m.
Yes, he did say that he'd try to make it later, but obviously that wasn't possible.
By the way, just in case, what happens if we're ill or something and can't make it? Do we phone the college or the place we're going to?
I think we have to phone the company first and then the college. Didn't you get the information sheet about work experience at our last seminar?
No, I missed it because I had to go to the dentist. What else did it say?
Well, we have to do a total of 24 hours altogether. So if we miss one of the arranged sessions, we have to organise another time to make up the hours. And he gave us details of the presentation we have to give about our work experience.
Oh, really? What do we have to do?
In week 10, we each have to give a presentation to the class about the company we've been with. It's 30% of our final mark for this subject. So it's going to be a lot of work.
Yes, he's expecting us to do a lot of research while we're there so that we can outline the history of the company, its management structure, number of employees, other branches, etc.
And he said we should use lots of visuals such as diagrams and flowcharts. during the presentation.
Yes, and we should also include what we did each week, the different departments of the company or positions that we observed, and try to relate what we saw to our studies so far. He gave examples like management style, accounting systems, information technology, and so on.
You were right. It sounds like lots of work.
That is the end of part three.
You now have half a minute to check your answers.
Now it turns to part four.
Part four.
You will hear a talk from a series of lectures on the survival of our planet. Professor Samson talks about endangered species of flora and fauna. First, you'll have half a minute to look at questions 31 to 40. Now listen carefully to the talk and answer questions 31 to 40.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Today's topic in this series of lectures on our planet is about ensuring the survival of our very important plant and animal species. In this lecture, I want to discuss one way that we can do this. No one will ever see a huge dinosaur thundering through the forest. No one will ever see a paradise parrot flash its rainbow colours across the sky. The fact is that many animals and plants have been wiped out. Sadly, they are extinct. It is too late for them. Extinction is forever. We can't do anything about the species that have already disappeared. But today, there are many animals and plants that could still become extinct in the future if we do not act now. They are endangered. The African elephant and rhinoceros have become endangered because of the value of their tusks. Australian parrots and reptiles are smuggled onto planes because certain people in other countries are prepared to pay thousands of dollars for them. And there are many other species around the world that are endangered because they no longer have a place in which to live and reproduce safely. The main cause of extinction is the destruction of habitats. A habitat contains all that a living thing needs to survive: space, light, water, food, shelter, and opportunities for reproduction. The population of the world is growing rapidly, and this is placing great demands on land and resources for housing and for growing food. When vegetation is cleared and swamps are drained for agriculture, mining, and suburbs, or when rivers are dammed to store water, plants are destroyed and animal life is threatened. In other words, humans are changing and destroying the habitats of animals and plants, which is in turn reducing their chances of survival. So how can we conserve habitats and help save endangered species? Well, one way is to protect their habitats permanently in national parks or nature reserves. National parks have been created in many countries. They encourage people to enjoy the beauty and diversity of the animals and plants that live there without harming them. By supporting and visiting these parks, people can become more aware of the species that live there and how the parks work to protect them. It is very important that, when visiting a national park, we keep them safe for future generations of plants and animals by obeying a few rules. Firstly, follow the fire regulations. Don't throw cigarettes or build fires, except at certain times of the year in especially allocated areas and facilities. Secondly, remember to leave pets at home. Pets, such as cats or dogs, can hunt birds or other small animals. Some pets might even escape and become a serious threat. Thirdly, place all rubbish in a bin or take it home. Plastic bags or leftover food are dangerous to the animals and harm the environment. Don't pick the flowers or damage the plants. Flowers create the next generation of the plant. Also, for the same reason, birds' eggs must be left in their nests. The loss of species in the past is sad. However, there is hope for the future. Despite the demands of our increasing population, we can work to protect the plant and animal species we still have. So I would like to conclude by saying that I believe that, with strong public awareness and support of these national parks and reserves, the future of endangered species can be ensured.
That is the end of part four.
You now have half a minute to check your answers.